Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Morning. Such a joy to be here with you. Today is an expression of the love of Christ. And I think we just need to savor that for a moment. The raising up and the forming of shepherds for God's people is a massive victory that was achieved right way back when Christ died, when he rose again, and when he ascended into heaven. He achieved a great victory. And it actually speaks about this. You don't need to turn there now, but it speaks about it in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, Christ ascended on high and he gave gifts to men. It was an expression where he gave the gifts of leaders into his church, was an expression of his victory. So today is an expression of the victory of Christ. And it's an expression of the love of Christ. He so loves his church. He so loves the people of this world that he has sent shepherds among them. And so we're going to be looking at this term shepherd this morning. And we're going to be reading probably the best known psalm in the whole Bible, Psalm 23. And the reason I've chosen that is because I believe it speaks to us about the heart of the shepherd, the great shepherd. Because elders are under shepherds. It's actually what they are. They are tiny little shepherds that are expressions of the great shepherd who loves his flock. So let's focus on the great shepherd. And then the folk we're going to be ordaining are expressions of this deep love of the shepherd over you, over me. He loves you. He loves you so much that he's prepared these people. He's formed them over years and years, formed their character, formed their lives, to present them to you as expressions of his loving shepherd's heart. So let's go to Psalm 23. You know it well. Perhaps you can just close your eyes and recite it. Well, otherwise, I think it might even appear up there. I'm not sure. But otherwise, we can just read it. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we look at the psalm, it starts out with the words, the Lord is my shepherd. And the word used for Lord there is a very specific one. It's the great word that we've got to know as Lord in English. In the original language, it's a word that refers to Yahweh, the eternal, one, true God. David is saying, the Lord, the great, eternal, one true God who created the universe, the one true God, is my shepherd. And when he says that, we need to realize in the context of the day in which this psalm was written, the people of the day had many idols. They followed other gods. And many of the false gods of the day were also referred to in ancient writings as shepherds. So they would refer to their deities as gods. And they would refer to them as shepherds. It was a common term. But David comes and he uses the term, the one true God is my shepherd. He was saying actually to the nations around, he says, you can have all these deities that you're calling the shepherds, but the one true God is my shepherd. And now what he was saying is that God's people are distinguished from all the other nations by who their shepherd is. We need to see this. It's a very significant thing for us to realize. God's people are distinguished by who their shepherd is. Because everybody's led around by something. And that's what shepherds do. They lead the flock. They take it to the green pastures, whatever. Everybody's led by something. We can say we're led by ourselves, but actually we're still led by our own evil, corrupt desires. But we're led around. And ultimately, the Ephesians, Paul writes to them and says, we're actually all led around by the devil. If the Lord is not our shepherd, you might think you're leading your own life, you're making your own decisions, but you're being led around, you're being shepherded by something. But what distinguishes God's people from all the other nations is the Lord Yahweh, the one true God, is our shepherd. And so we have to consider this. And when we think of elders being ordained, and I'm sure it's familiar to you, but the term elder is linked in the New Testament directly with shepherding. It's directly linked. You can almost interchange the two. An elder and a pastor and a shepherd, it's the same person. And they are expressions of the shepherd, the great shepherd. We don't relate to the great shepherd through the under-shepherds, but they are expressions, flesh and blood expressions that you can touch and feel and hear, but they are actually expressions on the earth of the great shepherd who is shepherding his flock. We can never, ever think that they can substitute for the great shepherd, or be intermediaries between. The Lord directly is my shepherd. But he's got these under-shepherds that he delegates something of his character through to live it out amongst his flock as flesh and blood representations of his shepherd heart. And so we have to understand that. In fact, David himself, in Psalm 78, God speaks of it and says, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds to be the shepherd of his people. And so we even find there that this is God's way right from the Old Testament, is that because he's a shepherd-hearted God, he looks for shepherd-hearted people and he tests them in the sheepfolds to test their shepherd's heart, and then he pulls them from there and he says, now go and represent my shepherd's heart to my people. So he selected David from amongst the sheep, and he said, now go and be shepherd of my people. And then it says, and David went and he shepherded God's people with an upright heart and with skillful hands he shepherded them. And so there David comes, and he was a man after God's heart, and God's a shepherd. So he chooses a shepherd to lead his people, and it says, and David shepherded them skillfully. So we need to understand this principle, and it's the same principle that's happening today. God selects people that can represent his shepherd's heart, and he sets them into his flock to be shepherds under the great shepherd, the Lord Yahweh, the great God. And so we have to now realize that Psalm 23 teaches us about how the Lord shepherds us. So we can't think that automatically, because we've now got elders that are over us in a congregation, that we're automatically shepherded. They're going to do their job. But there's some things the psalm teaches us, some questions we need to ask. And I think the first question we have to ask is the Lord your shepherd? So that sounds like a pretty obvious question. And you say, Alan, are you asking, am I a Christian? Say, no, I'm not asking that. I'm kind of saying, let's assume for a moment that you are a Christian. I still ask you that question. As a Christian, is the Lord your shepherd? Because it's not taken for granted. It's not automatic. You can be a Christian and not shepherded. You can be somebody that's given your life to Christ, but you are still shepherding yourself. You are still being led around by other things. We have to ask, is the Lord your shepherd? You see, this psalm, if you perhaps have got it open there, or maybe you just know it, but this psalm is structured in such a way that the psalm structure itself teaches us something. It's got a frame around it. The first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. The last verse says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It uses the same word at the beginning and at the end. It's a frame around the psalm, and it's actually like a city wall that frames a city. And it says, in a way, that all the benefits on the inside of the psalm, all the good stuff, you know, the green pastures like that, quiet waters, table, anoint my head with oil, all the good stuff. You don't get it outside the city, you get it inside the walls. But the walls are this, the Lord. It frames the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd and I dwell in the house of the Lord. They're like two big arms that come around the psalm and say, look, this is for you. You can have the benefits inside, but you must live inside the city. You've got to live inside the Lord. Is the Lord your shepherd? I have to ask you that this morning. Is he your shepherd? Now, we are generally quite confident in ourselves, and we will say, of course, Ellen, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. I pray all that. But let's just be more specific. What is a shepherd's task? A shepherd's task is to take a helpless little sheep that actually, sheep are so helpless, they say, I'm no expert, but they say, unlike goats, if you don't lead the sheep and feed them and protect them, they're not going to survive. They need to be led. They need to have provision. They need to be protected. So the task of a shepherd is to lead the sheep. So I've got to ask you, does Jesus, the great shepherd, does he lead you? Does he actually practically lead you? So let's ask these questions in a bit more detail. Does he influence the decisions that you make on a daily basis with your life? You see, if you want the quiet waters and the green pastures, does Jesus practically influence the decisions you make on a daily basis? Does he lead you? Because I find many Christians seem to be making their decisions, leading their own life, and then they want this. They want the benefits. They want to live in the safety of the city that's surrounded by the walls of the Lord, the shepherd. But does he lead you? Take, for example, David, how earnest he was about being led by the Lord. I read to you one of his prayers just two psalms later, Psalm 25. And he prays this. He says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all the day long. So this is David who said the Lord is his shepherd. Now, two psalms later, we read what it means in practice. He says, I will wait for God to show me his paths and to lead me before I just go rushing off and making all the decisions of my life without him. That's what it means to be led by the shepherd. Are you involving the influence of the shepherd in the major decisions of your life? People make decisions. We're going to go and live there. We're going to move there. We're going to be in that church. We're going to marry so-and-so, whatever. We're making the major decision. Is the Lord your shepherd? Are you willing to wait all the day long until he leads? To say, Lord, I will wait for you until I know your paths, until you've taught me your ways. Notice how David speaks here of that we need to be taught God's ways. He says, teach me your ways and your paths. In other words, the shepherd doesn't just lead by instantaneous revelations. Sometimes, As charismatic Christians, we sign up. That's how we operate, you know. Just give me a vision, give me a revelation so I can know what to do. Should I go there? Should I go there? But some of the ways the shepherd leads is through teaching us, little by little, teaching us his ways. Like Moses, when he cried out to God and he says, "Oh Lord, I want to know your ways so that I can continue to find favor with you." Sometimes we learn the shepherd's ways not by instant revelations and words of knowledge and prophecies, which do help. Sometimes we learn the shepherd's ways by being taught and gaining understanding. So take marriage, for example. Are you being shepherded in your marriage? We have to ask us this. You know, I mean, how much do you really know about marriage? How much do any of us know about marriage? Even Paul says it's a mystery. We're clueless. We need a shepherd to help us in our marriage. Is the Lord the shepherd in your marriage? Does he lead you so that you can find quiet waters in your marriage? Or is the marriage waters like pretty stormy, turbulent? But the Lord will lead you. I've seen it in our lives. There's been many stormy times. But yet, as we cry out to God, "Oh Lord, lead me, that I can be the husband you want for this amazing gift that you've given me. Oh Lord, teach me your ways." And I'm a slow learner. Some lessons to 25 years. And others are still coming. But some lessons of sacrificial love. Those are his ways. That's our husband's. Lay down your life. I mean, those are his ways. So we need to be shepherded by the great shepherd in our marriages. What about your parenting? I mean, how much do you know about raising kids? Really? I mean, every day you start afresh, clueless. The lessons you learned yesterday, all I know is they don't work for tomorrow. That's just how it is. You're going to have everything worked out for yesterday, but yesterday's lessons won't help you with, because kids change. They figure out what you know, and then they go around that. And so every day we're faced with the truth that we know nothing. We need the shepherd. The practical influence of the great shepherd to help this clueless parent to be a dad and a mom to our kids. I remember just with our children, what worked for my son, we sort of thought, well, it's working pretty well. We'll try that on our daughter. Didn't work. What did we do? Oh, God, help. We cried out to the Lord for help. There were some times in my daughter's journey where we ended up in a negative cycle with each other. We were boxing. And I was confronting the things that I thought she was doing wrong, the wrong decisions. And it was this confrontational, boxing, and whatever. And I could just see it was going south quickly. It was just getting worse and worse. Cried out, "Oh Lord." We got together, we prayed, "Oh God, help us." And we felt God speak to us and said, "I'm going to give you something. I want you to celebrate things in her life that she excels at. Pick those things and celebrate them." That was just one thing, and it was for that specific season. And so we had to adjust everything. Instead of boxing about the things she was doing wrong, we started just to call out the things in her life and to celebrate them. We used to tell her, "You know what? You are so amazing at this. We just can't believe how amazing that is." And we just began to celebrate this thing. It was a specific thing, but I just use it as an example to say, is the Lord your shepherd as a parent? He knows your kids perfectly. He formed them. He knitted them together. He knows them. He knows their personalities. Is he your shepherd in your business? There's lots of shepherds out there that are willing to lead you in business. Really, there's lots of books. There's lots of great business. Is the Lord Yahweh? Are you distinguished from all the other business people in Gauteng? Are you distinguished that you can say, "Now you've got shepherds, but the Lord Yahweh, the one true God, is my shepherd. He's a good businessman. You might not think so always. You look around and we can be impressed by, but I tell you what, the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. The earth is the Lord. He owns all the estate. They're in his name. They belong to him. He's a good businessman. He knows. Is the Lord, does he practically influence your business decision? You say, when we ask this question, the Lord is my shepherd, we need to say, is he really? Is he really my shepherd? And so we have to get there. Second thing, that's the first question. Second thing, what's essential is, do you trust his shepherd heart? And that's not such an easy question to answer. Do you trust his shepherd heart? Because you will not be led, any good sheep will tell you, you will not be led by a shepherd you do not trust. And you say, well, of course Christians trust Jesus. Well, we sometimes trust him for our eternal salvation, but we don't trust him to help me today to survive. So yes, he saves me. He's going to take me into heaven one day. I trust him with that. But when it comes to coping with life, I'm not too sure that I trust him there. Because actually it seems he's let me down a few times. Because I prayed this and it didn't happen. And I trusted that and it didn't. And actually my life's been pretty rough. And he said he would provide, and now I'm battling to make ends meet. And so I'll handle this side of eternity, Lord. I've got plan B, C, and D, because plan A, I'm not too sure of plan A, the good shepherd leading me in this life. I'll trust you in eternity. You know pretty well about that side. But yeah, I'll manage it okay, because I trusted you a little bit before and it didn't work out so well. And you have many Christians deep down inside that don't trust the shepherd heart of God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And what one needs to see that's very important is the context of Psalm 23 is not all happy, peaceful, loving life. In between all the good stuff that's in there, you will notice the good stuff is put there in a context of extreme difficulty. That's why he said, he restores my soul. Why does a soul need to be restored? It's because it's been hammered, been broken. So even though the Lord's your shepherd, there's no guarantee you're not going to need restoration. Many of you sitting here, your soul has been hammered, broken, heartache, loss, pain, suffering, disappointment. Psalm 23 doesn't guarantee you will be exempt from that, but it does say he will restore. You see, but do you trust his shepherd heart? There are three titles of Jesus relating to shepherds, given in the New Testament. The Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. Very important terms. We need to understand, when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and yet his name, three of his names have to do with the Shepherd, the Great, the Chief, the Good. Which shows us, he came to show us God's heart towards you is a shepherd's heart. But we need to trust him. Psalm 23 is a call by David to a people that were embattled and troubled to trust the shepherd's heart. And he's saying to them, trust his shepherd heart. And the psalm ends with these words, goodness and mercy will hunt you down. That actually is the correct interpretation, not just follow. Will hunt you down, because that word follow, it's the only place it's used in a positive context in the Old Testament. In all the other places, that word follow in the Psalm 23 is used when your enemy is on your tail and he's hunting you down. David knew all about being hunted down by his enemies. He He would hide in a cave, and then Saul's spies would figure out where he was, and they would hunt him down, and he'd have to move to the next cave, and then they would hunt him down, and he'd move. That's how he lived. So he knew what that word meant, to be hunted down. And he wrote the psalm to say, goodness and mercy will hunt you down all the days of your life. So you might go through the valley of the shadow. You might be surrounded by the presence of your enemies. You might be in a place where you need restoration. But don't worry, the Lord is your shepherd. He will hunt you down with his goodness and his mercy, and they will find you. You can't hide from him. You can be in any dark cave of trouble. The Lord is your shepherd. They will hunt you down. But do you trust his shepherd heart? Because sometimes we have got such pain and loss in this life that we begin to mistrust his shepherd heart. Do you trust him? I believe for those of you here, I think I'm touching a tender point. God wants to restore your trust this morning. And part of it is through the expression of people that he puts to love you and to shepherd you. He wants to remind you, no matter what you're going through, trust him. You see, in the Bible, the metaphor of sheep and shepherd is common. But there's one thing that it reveals. Whenever the shepherd is taken away, you'll find it often in the scripture, they will say, my people wander around like sheep without a shepherd. Another place it says, the strategy of the evil one is to strike the shepherd so that the sheep will scatter. But now the devil cannot strike the great shepherd because he has triumphed over him through the cross. But what the devil will strike at is your concept of the shepherd. He will attack it with everything in his might so that the little sheep can think, I can't trust the shepherd. And once we get to that place, we become like sheep wandering. We wander. If your heart has been broken through life and you've lost the trust in the shepherd, Peter says, return. Won't you return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul? Won't you return to him this morning? Some of you maybe have pulled back from God because you've been disappointed. And you said, well, I trusted him and look what happened. He has never promised that you will not go through hardship, that you will not go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll speak about that tonight. He has not promised that. What he's promised is that his rod and his staff will comfort you. He will make sure that he provides what you need to fulfill your purpose. It might not be what you think the provision is you want, but he will give you what you need to fulfill your purpose. He will prepare a table for you. No matter where your enemies are, he will do that. And his goodness and his mercy will hunt you down. And they will find you. But stay in the city of the shepherd.